So I call it ensemble-based multi-level group piano teaching. So a lot of the questions that I get from the teachers are, what do I do when the students are not at the same level anymore? You know, they spend a lot of time planning, well, this student's going to do this, this one's going to do that, and that's difficult for the teacher. So if they are ensemble-based, then that is what drives your semester, what you're doing in an ensemble, not what you're doing in your own individual level. So I work in the solo repertoire also. So we have our ensemble songs that everybody's doing together, but there's going to be a week where everyone works only with their headphones on and they're learning a solo piece. It can be whatever the teacher wants.
Tim Topham here, and welcome back to the Topcast from Top Music Co. This is episode number 297, where we'll be unpacking multi-level group teaching with our special guest and expert in this area, Dola Aparicio. At Top Music, we love guiding and supporting teachers just like you to engage, motivate, and inspire your students to run a sustainable studio business using our integrated music teaching approach. And I know that today's episode is going to answer a lot of questions for many teachers who have been asking about this style of group teaching. Group teaching is becoming more and more popular. There's no doubt that it's a great way to positively affect studio income, but also impact more and more students. But there's also many questions around whether you have single level and single age groups or multi-level groups. Do you have parents in the room, not in the room? Do you have headphones on, headphones off, or a mix of all of those things? And that's some of the questions that we're going to be answering today for you. Today's show notes, links, and resources are all over at topmusic.co/episode297. My guest today, Dola, is a piano teacher who supports group piano teachers with organized and engaging resources that will help them offer excellent group piano classes. She believes that teaching in a group setting is one of the best ways that we keep the world of piano teaching alive during this century. Over the past 3 years, Dola has created Piano Pyramid, a group piano method in which it's possible to teach students of different ages and skills, namely students between the ages of 8 to 14, who are beginners, and up to early intermediate level, all in the same room. Dola received her Master of Music in Piano Pedagogy from Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, Texas, has taught early childhood music, private and group piano for more than 30 years, and until recently was also an adjunct professor of music for 10 years at the university in Keene, Texas. Today, Dola continues to work independently in her studio, where she teaches weekly group piano classes, just of the type that we're going to be unpacking today. Great to have you on the show, Dola Aparicio. Welcome to the show, Dola. Great to meet you finally.
It's great to meet you also. Thanks for inviting me.
I've seen your name around Facebook groups and online for some years now, and you've been an incredibly helpful person for so many people looking at the group teaching approach. And so today I wanted to unpack some of these ideas with you. But before that, I thought it might be good to give a picture of what your teaching and studio looks like today. Where are you based, and how many people do you teach, and what ages and all that kind of stuff? Can you give us a bit of a wrap up?
So I'm originally from Costa Rica, Central America, but I have lived here in Texas, United States, for the last 30 plus years, maybe 36, 37. I live in a small town south of Fort Worth, the DFW area. And I also have a small studio. 50 students is what I have. And mostly beginners. So I have like 20-something preschoolers or that primer age 4 to 7, and then about the same amount in groups from age 8 to 14, and then maybe 5 or 6 private students.
And am I right in thinking that you started out, like most teachers, just teaching one-on-one and then added group as you went along?
Yes, yes, of course. It was all private until around 1986. I began, I was introduced to group piano and just loved it. I just loved the idea and been doing it ever since.
What was your introduction? Who was it, or what did you see? Was it a conference, workshop, somebody you saw?
It was Maren Cole.
That was my Maren Cole. Okay. She was on the podcast years ago. And I know she was a speaker at your recent Group Illuminated conference.
Ooh, that was the 30-something years ago. I started learning with her. And then also I did Music Garden, and they have a group piano program that I did for years also. So, you know, I've been doing it all this time learning that way, but that's how I got started.
Okay. And so did you attend an event, or how did you know about Maren? Because the internet wasn't quite, so there weren't quite so many Facebook groups back then.
There weren't any.
No,
that exist. No, I do not remember. I don't remember if I saw it. Maybe I saw it in a magazine, an ad or something. She's also here in Texas, but I really don't remember what was my first encounter with her. I don't.
But can you remember what it was about the format that made you go, I have to try this?
Yes. Not having to repeat myself every 30 minutes. That was just killing me, you know, because my studio is mostly beginners and usually students that are not practicing. So right. Yeah. Felt like
I love your honesty. Reading. That is very true.
Yes. And very few students that were preparing to be advanced repertoire. And so it was just, you know, I was getting tired of doing the same thing over and over. So when I tried the group format, I just thought it was wonderful because there were so many other things that we could do to learn music.
And by repeating yourself, you mean, you know, having to say the same thing, you know, watch your finger here on this piece, or yes, this is how you do this particular scale, just doing that again and again for different students separately?
Exactly. So this is middle C. This is G. What is this note on bass clef? I mean, after saying that every 30 minutes, you, and for many years, you know, you want to do something different. And it's not that I don't do that now, but I do it to 6 students at one time instead of just every 30 minutes.
Now, I know there's two kind of different schools of thought with group teaching. One is you have headphones on and the teacher individually instructs multiple students in a room. And there's the more ensemble type of playing and group teaching. Which does your teaching fall under?
Definitely the ensemble way, where we're playing out loud, doing everything together. The difference is that mine is multi-level. And so we do it out loud. We do use headphones, but very minimal. Maybe about 10, the most 15 minutes. 15 minutes would be pushing it.
Out of a 30-minute lesson?
Out of a 60-minute.
Oh, out of a 60-minute lesson. All right. It's really small proportion. Yeah. Now, I want to come and explore this multi-level group teaching question in a moment, because I know it will blow the minds of lots of people listening, including myself, to think that you can have kids, 6 kids in a room who are all at different levels and still have a functional lesson. So, I want to come back to that in a moment. But could you take us back to the first time, now this might be pushing it, the first time you taught a group and how you felt, because I imagine you were quite, would have been quite nerve-wracking, I imagine. But how did those first few lessons go as a group teacher?
So it was not nerve-wracking because I have been a choir director, college teacher with big groups. I've done that and I'm very comfortable with that. The difference was now that I had several pianos. And so what really helped me was that Maren Cole had everything scripted for me so I could know what to do next. So really it was just a thing of following a lesson plan. When I did Music Garden also, I followed the lesson plan until I learned how to do it freely by myself.
And we should mention Maren Cole. She was on the my podcast. Oh, I'm going to say 2016 or something like that. So I can't remember what number it is. We'll put a link in the show notes. But she's now given away, she's retired and given away her entire method for free at, I think it's freepianomethod.com.
Freepianomethod.com, yes.
That's right. And am I right in thinking you had her daughter on in your conference as well? So,
yes, both of them, right?
Oh, there's two daughters.
No.
Oh, but sorry, both Mehran and her daughter.
Yes, both Mehran and her daughter gave us, well, Mehran did like, they did an interview and talked about everything that she's done for group piano. And then her daughter also gave one of the sessions.
Yes. Yeah. She was an absolute hoot to interview. She was great fun. I remember well.
She is exactly the way I remember her from way back when.
Isn't that funny? And to now just give away her life's work, I think is extraordinary. So we'll also put a link to her piano method in our show notes too. So you were relatively confident at the start because, one, you had a method to follow, an approach to follow, some lesson plans. Two, you'd also conducted choirs and things like that. So you'd been in front of groups of kids. And I assume that for teachers who've never done this before, one of those steps is relatively straightforward. There are a number of approaches, and you indeed have your own, which we'll talk about soon. But what about that challenge of just getting over, if some teachers listening are like, you know, I'd really like to try this, but I really worry about being in front of six kids or four kids at once. Any thoughts on that?
We'll start with three. Start with three and one piano and do what you know how to do with one. And it's a way to practice and kind of find your own flow and really get to know what it is that you want to do with your group. That's a very easy way to do it. And then your group does not have to be 6, 8, 15. You know, it can be just two to get started, and that is just fine.
Mm. And that's great because it cuts down the expense of feeling like you have to buy, you know, four digital pianos and that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, I would always recommend to start small with one piano. Start with beginners, that you can have all three of them on one piano, and start with a method that you're familiar with.
So, again, going back to some of those early days, can you remember some of those mistakes that you made along the way that you look back and go, oh, why did I do that?
Yes. So my biggest mistake was I sent out a letter, like an actual letter in the mail to the parents saying, next semester we will be doing group piano. And then I just put them in groups and expected everybody to be happy and join. And I lost half of my studio.
Oh, no.
It was devastating because I mean, that's my personality. I just do things. I've learned now that you have to ease into new things. But that was my biggest mistake, yes. So I always encourage teachers to ease into it, talk to the parents, be really secure in what you want to do and share that and get feedback before plunging into it.
Yeah, that's a lesson in poor communication, I guess, isn't it, as a business owner to your clients, yes.
But I was so young, and I, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you know it all. So.
That's right. Needless to say, you've rebuilt and got onto much bigger and better things. So, but yes, definitely. I mean, it's the same for rate rises or really any change to lesson lengths, anything that's going to impact your students. I also encourage teachers to take the time to prime that conversation early on, maybe a month before the change or even longer. Hey, this change is coming. Opportunities to ask questions, answer questions, more communication. I mean,
and I would say also talk to every single parent individually, not just a mass email or anything. Another thing I encourage teachers to do is while they're doing their private lessons, begin with one group lesson a month or one group lesson a semester or on the term, and get the kids excited about it. You know, prepare their ensemble during their private lesson. And then when you get into your group class that one time a month or once a term, you play together and get them excited about how this could be awesome to do every week.
Yeah, there's that whole social aspect of group music learning that is just missed, isn't it, in the one-on-one. Do you find that that, as well as obviously there's musical benefits too, but do you think the social benefits are just as important in some ways?
Yes, yes. I hear my students when they come into the studio and they're in the waiting area and they're not talking about piano, but they're talking about whatever. Oh, and so they're all excited to come in and they're doing it together. I did not see that when I only did my private lessons, you know, just one after the other. Even if they know each other, they would maybe wait outside and play together in the yard before. But then when you come into class, it's just you and the teacher. So definitely that is a thing that the parents can use also to encourage their student. Well, you're going to see so-and-so at class, so let's go.
And when you mentioned at the start you had about 50 students, you said mostly beginners in two different kind of age brackets. There's the 4 to 7 year olds and then 7 to 12 year olds, I think you said. Are they all doing group?
So I do have primer levels, which is 4 through 7.
Ages 4 through 7.
Not all together, but they're not all together. So I do 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7. In groups, yes. But those, my primer levels, I leave them, they are same age, same skill. Then 8 to 11 is another grouping, and those are mixed. And then 11 to 14, and that's another mix.
So let's talk about this. So when you say mixed, 11 to 14, that means you've got you've got kids at different levels, i.e. they have different skills and ability. So now to most people, having kids of all different levels in class sounds like a recipe for disaster. So tell us how you make this work.
So let's say my 8 to 14, all of them are doing the same lesson plan. I just group the 8 to 11 together because they get along well at that age. And then 11 to 14 also. So it's beginner to early intermediate level. And so my program is, my lessons are ensemble based. So everybody's playing the same song, but at a different level.
Okay. So they're all playing out loud. And so let's say you've got 4 students in a room and they can vary between complete beginner and early intermediate, I think you said. So the real beginners must have some instruction from you just to get started, no? They just pick it up?
So I keep them close to me. When we start, they can start anytime in the semester. I keep them close to me. I label the keys that they're going to use for whatever song I'm teaching. And they're going to play by rote. So the part that they play, even though it's on the staff and it's labeled with the names of the notes, they will learn it by rote. And they will learn that day how to follow the score. They will use only one hand. And, you know, they play with the class. And, of course, it's not going to be perfect at the same time, but they are part of the group from the beginning.
And so while you've got the beginner next to you, you've got, let's say, 3 other students, and they are playing the same piece of music but different parts of the score. So one might have the top melody line and it might have some tricky rhythms. Another one will have some harmony in the middle, and that will be simpler because they're at a different level. Is that right?
Somewhat. So the way that I do it is each level, these 5 levels, there's goals, piano goals, that they, that I know this is what this student can do. This is why I'm giving them this level. So what I try to have is that their part, they can play it solo also, but when we put it together, it's an ensemble.
Oh, okay. So the part, when they're practicing their part at home, it will sound like a piece for two hands. It will sound great. Ah, okay. So it's not just that they're not like a singer in a choir just singing the tenor line.
No.
Ah, okay.
Well, I wanted it to be that everyone, you know what our primer level 1 songs sound like. one melody with between two hands, and or the primer, the prep pianist, a beginner is playing just two notes or just coming down the scale, same type of thing. But it goes well with, you know, Musette in D that my pianist four early intermediate is playing.
Okay. And that's important because you want the student to still practice and enjoy the sounds that they're making at home on their own without the ensemble.
Yes.
Okay. And do you, when you are playing together in a group, do you do things like give the children different sounds? So some are playing string instruments, some are playing
pianos.
No, not necessarily.
We will do that as a reward when we learn the song really well and, just for fun. But other than that, my goal is for them to have a regular piano class with their friends. So it's like a typical piano class. We forget that there's all these fun sounds on the keyboard.
Yeah, that's right. No, we do, though. And I really love encouraging students to explore all those sounds and more than just the bings and bongs and car crash sound effects. Because there are some lovely sounds in these instruments these days.
Last semester when we did a Baroque piece, I can't remember what it was. And so we used harpsichord and things that other sounds that worked with that. And we talked about how this was a period piece, et cetera. And so that was very interesting for them. They loved doing that. And we did that for recital. But it's usually a special treat.
And do you use percussion or non-pianos in your studio?
I don't. Maybe I should do more of that. I know that when we play scales, because there's a portion of class where we play our scales, everybody at a different level. And I will play, just from the clavinova, I'll choose a rhythm to go with it. And so that type of thing, yes, I will do. But to answer your question, not really, no.
And I was thinking about technique. I'm guessing that you mentioned, there may be 10 minutes of headphone use in a class. Would that be if you were looking over and you could see one of the students that just wasn't getting it or was doing something really awkward with their hands or something, you could just say, all right, everyone, just pop your headphones on and just practice that little section for a bit and then you can go and speak to that student. Is that when that happens?
No. The way I have it planned is that after we do our technique, our theory, and I introduce the song, we also spend time numbering the measures and listening to the piece. Then I will introduce the piece by level. They come to my piano and I show them. Then they can go practice it with their headphones on. Or my more advanced students that are in their pianist four, I call it early intermediate, they can sight read before I even show them what to do. So they're working on that. So when we're taking turns that they come to my piano where I give them specific indications, the others are working on their headphones.
Have you always taught this multi-level approach or have you taught some classes where everyone's the same level?
When I started with Marin Cole and with Music Garden, everyone was the same level. So I did start that way. Then I moved on to, I was going to be really just awesome with everybody doing a different book, multi-level. We were going to rotate and it didn't work for me, for my personality. That switching for every student doing a different song was not good for me doing that all afternoon. So that is what got me into thinking, well, wait a minute. When my son is in orchestra or in band, everybody's playing the same song but doing something different. Why aren't we doing that in piano? So that's really are the things that got me started thinking about that.
And do you think one is harder or easier than the other, or are they just different?
Do you mean the same level or multi-level?
Yes.
Eventually, your students are going to be multi-level.
Okay, it's kind of an eventuality.
It's going to happen because everyone is going to learn at their own pace. Not everyone practices the same. Not everyone learns the same way. So even if you're using, if you like to do same skill, same age, you need to prepare for when it your group is starts to go in a different direction. You need to have a plan. For me, it's easier just to start with that plan from the beginning and then work the other things into it.
Yeah, you don't have to then sort of switch gears as students diverge. Yeah, I see.
Because in this way, if you start, maybe you're at a pianist one, but as the semester goes along, you're ready to do something else, you can move on to the next level, but you don't have to go to another class.
Yes, of course.
You can still play the same song.
Right. And you're making friends in that class. You don't want to have to move.
He does not want to mess up their schedule. What if you don't have another class where they can go to? Now they're going to do private just because they don't fit in here? No. No, it's much better to be able to keep them together.
I hadn't thought of that. That's really helpful. Good advice there. So tell us about the piano pyramid method that you've created to actually help teachers with this approach.
So I call it ensemble-based group, multi-level group piano teaching. So a lot of the questions that I get from the teachers are, what do I do when the students are not at the same level anymore? You know, they spend a lot of time planning, well, this student's going to do this, this one's going to do that, and that's difficult for the teacher. So if they are ensemble-based, then that is what drives your semester, what you're doing in an ensemble, not what you're doing in your own individual level. So I work in the solo repertoire also. So we have our ensemble songs that everybody's doing together, but there's going to be a week where everyone works only with their headphones on and they're learning a solo piece. It could be whatever the teacher wants. It could be a method book. Anything that, if you think they need to do extra music, then this is where you would listen to them and grade them and get it done. But still, then on the following week, you're ready to do a new ensemble. And that is where your progression is moving.
Now, you've also got experience in online group piano classes, which I imagine would be another scary thought for teachers who haven't tried this before. How does that work?
So it's a mindset shift. You are not going to be able to play together. That's it. If the teacher can understand that, then you're going to be okay. So the same lesson plan that I do in person, I do online. However, when it's time to play together, all of my students are muted and they can hear my piano and they're playing a duet with me. Or we take turns and they get to be the teacher and we all play with that student. So we do different things that we can do as a group online, but my expectations are not for us to play together as a group. If I want that to happen, then I'm going to do a recording and, you know, how we do video recordings, etc. But in a live class online, that is not one of my expectations and it's not one of my goals.
Okay. Which is, makes sense. But as you've mentioned, if one person plays out loud and everyone else is muted, they can play along with that person.
Yes.
In their own time kind of thing. It'll be delayed for everyone else, but in time for them.
Exactly. And that is where I can see if the counting is correct. If they have a good tempo, then they really play an F sharp here and they weren't supposed to. All of those things. And they some love doing it. Some would rather not, you know, and just like we do in class.
And how many students would you have in an online class?
You know, I've done 6 and 7 and it was total chaos. I shared a video I had to record it so the teachers could see. It was just terrible. Not the playing, but everybody just looking at the screen like nobody can. Do I do this? Do I do that? It was so I had to switch it around and the parents were very understanding. And then we went in 4 is my ideal online.
4 plus you?
Yes.
Okay. And was the first time that you did the online classes, March 2020, when the pandemic started?
For group, yes. I had been teaching online before, but not group. That was my first time.
Right. Okay. And it sounds like you gave, you know, you tried a variety of ways to do it, and you've now sort of
figured everything out. I've tried all the games, all the bells and whistles, and I don't use them. I'm just very, very easygoing, very simple in my teaching. So I don't, one of the things is that, I don't want to be stressed out about all the technology. And where I live, at this time of the afternoon, it seems like everybody in my town is online. And so my connection is never strong enough. So instead of having to deal with that, I just work around it and make my classes very simple.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for simple communication when you're trying to teach online. That's for sure. Yeah, particularly when you've got more than one child that you're working with. Yeah. Dula, I think it's just amazing. I get such a sense of passion, but also calm from you. You're clearly such an experienced teacher. And thank you so much for sharing with us today. I know we've only touched the surface, and I'm sure you've got more resources to help teachers. So where can they go to find out more about both Piano Pyramid, but also I think you've got a Facebook group. Is that right?
Yes, the Facebook group is Let's Talk Group Piano. And if you answer all the questions, you'll be accepted. I have a ruthless administrator in that group that if the questions are not answered, she will delete or decline. And then my website is missdorla.com. And there you can find the shop with the music and the freebie and, you know, everything that has to do with group piano.
I'm just on your website at the moment on the group piano pyramid page. There's a lot of P's in that. And looking at your score for Spring from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. And I can see instantly the approach that you're using for the, so if someone could picture the score, it looks like an orchestral score. At the bottom is a double stave for, right and left hand for the prep pianist, and then pianist 1, pianist 2, 3, 4. So that's the kind of level that you were talking about, is it? So one of your students in the class might be a pianist 1, and they're playing, I can see, one note in one hand and a simple held note in the left hand. Right up to the top, pianist 4 is playing chords in the right hand, different notes in the left hand. So I see how
so
it works.
Spring. Okay. So that's an arrangement. If you look at, let's say, Musette in D, if you see that there, the pianist 4 is playing the original by Bach. That is your original or early intermediate piece. And then I just arrange it for the skill level so that everyone can play that D major piece together.
But it still sounds great on its own, which is the goal at that level. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, look, I encourage anyone to, if you're interested in this multi-level group teaching idea, to definitely explore Dorla's site, Miss Dorla, missdorla.com, or join her Facebook group. Dorla, thanks so much again for hanging out with us today.
Thank you for all your questions. I loved it.
Well, that's the end of the show for this week. I do hope you enjoyed our discussion all about multi-level group teaching, and perhaps it's excited something in the back of your mind thinking, oh, maybe this could work for you and your studio. And if so, I do encourage you to check out some more of our resources. We have a variety of courses inside Top Music Pro membership on group teaching, both on group teaching of multi-level and single-level studios, and also the business of group teaching. And you can get access to all of that and also the courses on group teaching over at the Upbeat Piano Teachers by becoming a Top Music Pro member at topmusicpro.com. Have you ever thought of selling your studio, maybe in the future? Well, if you have, then I want you to tune in next week. We're going to be chatting with Jeff Homer, who is the CEO of Ensemble Music Schools. And in next week's episode, we're going to be unpacking all about what you need to know and to do if you want to potentially sell your studio in the future. How do you value your school? What's customer acquisition cost? What does lifetime value mean? And how does that matter? What are some of the mistakes that school owners make if they're looking to sell their school in the future? And how do we go about the whole process? That's what we're going to be talking about next week. I hope you'll join us. Until then, I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to The Topcast from Top Music Co. Thanks so much for joining us, and I'll speak to you next week. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers. And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.